Good morning. Welcome to the January 14th Sussex County Council meeting. Councilwoman Deaver will not be here today. She's homesick. Approve the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Council. We can amend the agenda today to strike executive session pending potential litigation. I was expecting an answer from the AG's office. I did not receive that. We can erase that and possible action on executive session items. And we're joined today by Senator Brian Pettigen, who is here to give us an update on legislation. And since he has to run to Dover for today's session, I would recommend after reading of correspondence, we hear just that part of the legislative update, and we'll hear Hal's update afterwards.
Certainly. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of January 7th. Any questions or corrections on those? Hearing none, they'll stand approved.
So moved.
Correspondent, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters of thank you. The first is from Changing Fates Equine Rescue of Delaware, also from Good Samaritan Aid, from Harvest Ministries, from New Hope Recreation Development Organization, from Home of the Brave. And they're all thanking the council for the assistance.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Okay, we'll move on then. Senator Pettigen. Good morning, sir. Welcome.
Morning, Mr. President. Here to speak to you today regarding a piece of legislation that I was planning on introducing when we came back today regarding a liability cap for nonprofit entities that hold special events no more than once a year. This was in direct response to conversations with the Pumpkin Chunkin' organization that they may be moving out of Delaware because they did not have a liability cap, and the landowner wanted additional protection, since really the landowner's offering his land free of charge to that organization to hold the event. Subsequently, we have had conversations with a lobbying group, the Delaware Trial Lawyers Association. They were opposed to this bill, really because they saw it as the camel's nose under the tent for tort reform in Delaware. They were not in favor of that. So we had a discussion last week with their organization, and a subsequent conversation last week with the attorney, Mr. Wheatley's attorney. And it's my understanding that via contract and hold harmless clauses, indemnification clauses within that contract between the Pumpkin Chunkin organization and the landowner, that the protection the landowner is seeking can be, they can have that protection without having to go through legislation. Also, there is a separate issue right now with the landowner trying to get insurance on his property, on his farm, because of the event that's being held there. But that's something that, as a legislative body, that we cannot address right now. That's not something that's within our purview. So I believe the landowner is working with several different insurance companies trying to find insurance to cover his property. And I do not plan on introducing this piece of legislation now, since it's not needed for the immediate need that we had to keep Pumpkin Chunkin' here in Delaware. There were some other organizations that did contact me that were interested in it, and I'm going to have them get in contact with the same attorney to try to craft an agreement with the landowner and the organization to protect them as well. But as of this time, the legislation is not planned on being introduced in the current General Assembly. So I'm also here to answer any questions you may have regarding any legislation that may be coming up, get your opinion on any type of legislation that you may have on your radar screen, and to take the voice of the Sussex County Council up to Legislative Hall today.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
The bill you were just discussing.
Yes.
That's a gun bill.
If you've got a clause in your in Everett, listen there a little bit. And if you're held harmless and got these these clauses that protect you and all that stuff, you said that we don't need the legislation, you can still get sued.
Anybody can be sued.
So say anybody can get sued. So the cap, my gut feeling would be a cap would still be a second safeguard because assuming, and we've seen it here where we write a piece of legislation and we have one word is wrong,
mm-hmm.
or some judge has interpreted, a certain word differently than we interpreted 5 years ago or whatever. It seems to me a cap would still have some assurance to a landowner that if he got sued, even though he's being held harmless and all this other stuff in his contract,
mm-hmm.
That he knows if he gets into a court situation, and maybe a jury trial. I don't know. Do you go to jury trials and those kind of things ever?
Possibly.
You certainly can. It's
so you get a jury trial, and a jury comes down and says, there's something wrong with this. So I still see merit in this cap on those kind of things. So my thoughts are to you is just maybe not to listen to those trial lawyers. No offense ever, but lawyers. You talk to two lawyers, you get two different opinions.
I agree with that, and I agree that the legislation does have merit. Like I said, anybody can be named in a lawsuit.
Right.
I was named in several lawsuits when I was mayor of Georgetown personally,
mm-hmm.
as well as with the town council as being a member of the council.
Right.
Usually in your initial pleadings with the attorneys, if you shouldn't be on the lawsuit, they'll get you taken off the lawsuit.
Right.
All that does is, you pay the attorney to do it. It costs you some attorney's fees. But once you make those pleadings, you're off the lawsuit and everything is good. There is some discussion going on as to how the Punk and Chunkin organization can help Mr. Wheatley when he is named in a lawsuit to help pay for those legal fees in case he is named
right.
in a lawsuit to get him off. But to your point, I think I think it's a good bill. Regardless, because it helps protect nonprofits in the state of Delaware.
Right.
So even if they are sued, even if it's their land, if we're not in this situation, it would give them a target to purchase insurance for,
right.
whether it's $750,000, $3 million, $5 million, whatever that number would be, it would be a target. However, I would not have the support to get it passed through the General Assembly.
At this point, I do fully understand that because I understand that at the national level, trial lawyers have a big lobby and have a lot of clout, and I'm sure they do in the state of Delaware.
Yes.
And being that you're in a minority party up there, you might have difficulty getting it through if you can't convince this other side of the aisle to go along with it. But I still see it having merit, and it does make sense to me. And it's
a bill that I'm going to keep filed away,
okay.
and if the opportunity presents itself that I would have support for it, the bill's already written. It's been reviewed. There's a lot of people that like it. We'll go ahead and introduce it at that
point. Well, I think if a bunch of fire companies and a lot of these groups that could be affected by this did some lobbying, you probably would see some of the other side of the aisle maybe think more closely about the
right.
Ramifications of what this could benefit or something. But anyway, go on to any other questions on other issues.
Do you think you have the full support of your own caucus on that bill?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. I have talked to each member of my caucus, and I do have support, and they would actually be willing to sign on as co-sponsors of that bill.
I echo Mr. Cole's point. I believe in tort reform.
Yes.
I guess is why I would support it.
Really, it would be a matter of timing for this bill. When the time's right, the bill's written. Introduce it at the right time.
Okay.
Anything else?
I'm thinking about the shotgun bill or the gun bill. Was it last time it lost by voters? It passed the House, but lost the Senate by what, a vote or two?
House Bill 88.
88. I was going to say that, but I wasn't positive.
It passed the House of Representatives 40-1, and it was defeated in the Senate 13-6.
Yeah. What do you think this time's odds are good?
It's my understanding that they intend to bring that bill up for reconsideration today.
Yeah, I know it's close, but I didn't know where that.
Today is the last legislative day that bill can be brought up for reconsideration. Otherwise, it has to start over again as a new bill.
Well, you realize I think it's a bad bill. You vote against it, I understand.
My vote last time was no on that bill, and I intend to vote no for reconsideration again this time.
Well, see if we can push them that way. Be nice.
Okay.
There's a tax intercept bill
yes.
that I believe.
Yes.
Where do you see that going this session?
I believe that was a House bill that was introduced. I don't think it made it out of the House, if I'm not mistaken.
It passed on June 11th.
It did. Okay, so it was one of those last bills.
It's in the Senate Finance Committee. I just didn't know if you had a sense of whether or not there was support for it.
I haven't heard that there wasn't support for it. A lot of times you don't hear if somebody likes the bill. You'll hear if somebody doesn't like a bill. And I haven't heard any discussion about that bill not being viewed as favorable. So it would be my educated guess that that bill would come out of committee and be voted on possibly in January or after we come back from the joint finance break.
When does that break begin?
It begins in February, so last February and the first half of March.
Our gas tax, I understand, and according to the pump, it shows it. And I understand that the governor raised it, what, about 10 cents or more this last time? Is that true?
The gas tax was not raised.
It was not raised.
There was a proposal to raise the gas tax and some other fees to pay for infrastructure improvements in the state of Delaware. He could not get support for that bill in June.
Okay.
So that bill was not even introduced. In hearing some of the comments that he made at the SCAT dinner, I expect that that proposal may be renewed when we come back.
Yeah, I thought somebody said 10 cents, and I didn't. I saw the price went up in a hurry, but I didn't.
No, it was not a result of any state gas tax.
It wasn't due to our taxes. Okay, good.
Anything else from council? Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by. Always a pleasure to see you, and thank you for your work.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I think we ought to do this every month with the senator.
The first item of business is the Airport Advisory Committee appointments. In your packet, you had a list of seven individual slots with two people under number four for the 2014 Airport Advisory Committee appointments. I can review those now. We have one representative of the fixed base operator, one non-commercial airport tenant, one commercial airport tenant, two airport-based aircraft owners, one industrial park tenant representative, one representative at large, and one county council representative. These are the current committee members from this year, and if you would choose to entertain a motion to approve this selection for the current 2014.
Certainly. Read your motion.
Be it moved, the Sussex County Council approves the appointment of the 2014 Airport Advisory Committee members as presented for a term of 1 year.
Entertain a motion?
I give it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Next, sir.
And the administrator's report for January 14, 2014. Item number one, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Vincent Overlook Phase 3B received substantial completion effective January 8th, 2014. Item number two, county offices will be closed on Monday, January 20th, 2014 for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Offices will reopen on Tuesday, January 21st at 8:30, and the county council will have its regularly scheduled meeting at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, just
question for the administrator. Do we still celebrate President's Day and do the staff have off the President's Day?
Do we celebrate Lincoln?
Mike Vincent?
We do not have a county holiday for President's Day weekend, no. And keep in mind, we do have two floating holidays that employees can use throughout the year. If they choose to use it to coincide with other holidays, they can do so.
Has it been considered for the adding the Martin Luther King Day to the floating holidays?
If that's what you're, it has not to this point, but if we would like to entertain that, we could.
Something to think about, okay.
Okay.
Anything else from council? Before we go too much farther, we just want to recognize Charlie West here in the audience, Representative West, many years in Gumbo area. Thank you, sir, for all your service. Pleasure to see you. Wastewater agreements, Hal Godwin. Americana Bayside, Coastal Crossing.
Mr. President, members of council, I have a few items to review with you this morning. The first two are wastewater agreements, and the first one is Sussex County Project 8104, Americana Bayside, Coastal Crossing Agreement number 980. In this case, the developer will be Mr. Thomas Halverstadt from Selbyville, Delaware. The location for this one will be the southwest intersection of Lighthouse Road and Americana Parkway, Signature Boulevard, and East Sand Cove, number 394, the southerly side of the road, as the location. This will become part of the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District and will be serving mixed-use residential development. The system connection charges total $115,896. We have approvals from both DENREC and our own engineering department. We're expecting 45 days of construction, with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $16,798.05, with a proposed construction cost of $111,987. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 980, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and CFM Bayside LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Americana Bayside Coastal Crossing, located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District.
Entertain a motion.
Make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Yes, sir. The next one is the same developer, Mr. Thomas Halberstadt from Selbyville. The location of this location of this agreement would be to serve County Road number 394, southeast of Farmstead Road and East Sand Cove Road. Again, this would become part of the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District, serving a residential consisting of fee simple townhomes, duplexes, and single family lots. System connection charges will total $289,740. We have approvals from DENREC and from our engineering department, while we're expecting 40 days of construction and a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $25,036.95, with a proposed construction cost of some $166,913. And I have a proposed motion for this one as well.
Please read your motion, sir.
Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 1003, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and CFM Bayside LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Americana Bayside Seagrass Bend, located in the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District.
Entertain a motion. Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Legislative update.
Yes, sir. The legislative update was placed on the agenda today, and I should say, with the exception of Senator Pettijohn's presentation, there really isn't a lot to report. So what I put in your package last Friday was the last report I gave you, which was July of 2013. But I can offer some updates to that report, as that there were some of these bills that I left my comments being had passed both chambers and awaited the governor's signature. Some of those bills have obtained signature from the governor, which now present them to be state law. And that would be House Bill 44, which is the third item on your first page. That was signed July 3rd by the governor. On the second page, everything there is still in the same position. House Bill 63 is on the House ready list. Senate Bill 58 is on the Senate ready list. And as we move through the report to item number, so we're on page 4, House Bill 95, this one allows the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control to impose environmental liens on real property in an effort to collect taxpayers' money. That bill was signed by the governor the last day of the session, June 30. Let's see. Nothing new to report until we get down to this one is of importance to us. On page 7, Senate Bill 78 was signed by the governor July 31st, and this is the bill that establishes the Wetlands Advisory Committee, which I represent you on, which is designed to develop a comprehensive recommendation for conserving and restoring non-tidal wetlands in the state. I have a report for you at more length on that once we finish this. That bill was signed July 31st, and the committee has been established, and I've attended all their meetings so far. Bill number House Bill 160 was signed on August 28th. This is the bill that establishes aquaculture in the inland bays for oystering. House Bill 190, which is a farm distillery or brewery rather bill that allows wines to be wines and brew pubs to be in business on farmland. That was signed August 5th. And that pretty much wraps up the update on that. I did want to mention one thing to you that you might not have a direct interest in, but I thought I'd run it by you. And that is that there will be a public hearing this Thursday that I could attend in your place if you'd like to discuss Senate Bill number 6, which is to raise the minimum wage. This would propose that the minimum wage would go to $8.75 an hour starting July of this year. I didn't know if you wanted me to represent you in that particular bill or not. I could attend the meeting. I have the time on my schedule.
I move that we send Hal to that meeting with a recommendation that we oppose raising the minimum wage.
No, I'll certainly second it because why are we going to $8.75? Why don't we go to $9.75, $12.75, $15.75? Where's the stop? Why is it a dollar? It's a joke. It boils down. It just gives the government more chances to take the money from the person who gets the raise. That's all it boils down to. You don't buy a bit more, not a dime more. And I'm talking from the average working man. I know it's a joke. So I'm with Vance. I'm 100% against that.
We have a motion and a second to send Hal to the hearing and to oppose the bill on the behalf of Sussex County Council. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mr. Cole.
I guess it's an area that, you know, we don't really have much impact on, but other than, I guess, making our comments pro or con, so I guess it can't hurt.
Okay. Mr. Yes. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
I'll do that, yes, sir. Next item on my work list is to report to you what's happened so far with the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council ad hoc committee. I included a caption from the newspaper, which I'm sure you'd already gotten from Chip a day or two earlier, that kind of summarizes what this committee has done so far. I wanted to leave you with that article because I thought it was a pretty thorough description of what we've done, remembering that this committee has been formed as a result of Senate Bill 78, which I briefed you on a few minutes ago. If you'd like to see that bill, I have it. But I wanted to just highlight for you some of the things that have happened and some of the things that have not happened in this committee. I believe that at my next report juncture, I'll have more substance to share with you. I can tell you that this committee was formed I think the first thing is to let you know how this came to pass. This ad hoc committee was designed first by the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council, which is a product of two other councils being merged together. There was a Clean Water State Revolving Fund Council and a Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Council. Both councils met independently to manage the grant monies and loans that those two organizations made to counties, municipalities, and some private vendors for the construction of infrastructure for water and wastewater. Those two committees were put together and a few new members added to make one larger committee. When that happened, this larger committee, the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council, they voted to establish the ad hoc subcommittee to research the possibilities of a constant funding stream. What I have heard in the meetings are that the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council is fearful that federal grants may be diminished or reduced or eliminated that feed these systems. And they would like to try to find a way to establish a dedicated fund that would supply finances for both of those functions, drinking water and clean water. And they've also added stormwater as an issue that we hadn't funded or dealt with in the past. So there is my caution. My caution for you that I think you're going to want me to represent you is that we didn't really fund stormwater management before, but this new fund would allow dollars to be available for such use. It's mentioned briefly as we go through all the meeting minutes and all the notes. I won't bore you with the reams of paper, but What I get from this is that this ad hoc committee would like to establish a fund of some $36 million a year, which they haven't decided yet how to collect that money or who to collect it from. But they're talking about a $36 million a year fund that would be available for clean water issues, drinking water issues, and stormwater issues. The stormwater issues is the new piece that we hadn't been funding before, except as is detailed in our level of service study we did back in 2007 or 8, which the county partially funded with DENREC, and that level of service study collected all the efforts that are being made currently from municipalities, county, and some private developers on the management of storm water. That study had some recommendations in it, and that was pretty much where that issue had stopped, at least in my recall. There had never been really a designated fund established to do anything with public funds to support that particular utility. You may also remember that our former Governor Ruth Ann Minner had attempted to establish a stormwater utility unsuccessfully. So I would just, and I've made it clear at the committee that I'm keeping my ears open about everything that they're proposing, and that the stormwater issue is one I'm listening to very carefully. So I can provide you with, what I have for you is a copy of the most recent draft proposed from this committee I'm going to give you now. But quite frankly, this really doesn't, even this report really doesn't give you a real structure. A lot of vague information in here, but I want to share it with you because I think you should see it. My point is that at our next meeting, which has not yet been scheduled, Terry Deputy, who is the gentleman from DENREC who's sort of representing DENREC's financial interests in this committee, has been told to bring back a plan, basically the 2.0 plan, in other words, a new plan different from this one, that for the committee to review on the possibilities of establishing this fund. Reading this report probably won't clear up a lot of the details for you because there's a lot of financial considerations that I would submit are behind this report, not necessarily in front of the report, which makes it a little difficult to understand. However, I called yesterday to find out if our next meeting has been scheduled, and I was told by Mr. Deputy Secretary that it has not. So I'm limited on what I can offer you when I get the next report, the next proposal. I'll be certain to bring it to you immediately. And I will make sure that you have plenty of time to weigh in on this before I represent you with any votes.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Hal, can I add and interrupt? Excuse me. The committee, they're in their brainstorming process, set aside the idea of getting the fee passed. How would they administer the fee? In other words, how would they collect the fee? And they approached the counties to see if we would have the wherewithal in our computer systems to attach some fee to the tax bills that already go out. Ms. Jennings attended a meeting last week with all three finance directors throughout the county, three counties, and the answer for Sussex County, the short answer is no. Our computer system will not allow that flexibility to add another tax that we could administer through our tax bill process. Again, setting aside whether or not they're going to pass it on and how they're going to pass it on, we would not be the mechanism by which they could bill the customers.
Thank you. Just to give you some rough numbers, currently, these are their numbers now. Currently, I'm being told that Sussex County accounts for $9.9 million in these grant funds being dispersed annually, and they're recommending $10.26 million. So they have an upward curve here in the financial analysis. That's just a report that they put out last week.
I bet the committee hasn't even figured out how much money they're going to pay themselves yet.
Correct.
We'll see how much they can rob from us first, probably.
I hadn't used the word rob.
No, but it's a nice word. It's hard being straightforward here.
Now, if you really feel like you want to become as well-educated almost as Mrs. Jennings, I have spreadsheets for you on these funds, which shows the flow. What this spreadsheet demonstrates, it shows grant monies coming in from the EPA, the state match, and then how they're dispersed through loans and grants. I was told to be prepared to show these numbers. It's very tiny print. If you'd like, I have copies for everybody if you want them.
Might give me a headache.
Yeah. Okay.
Before we get too far down this line, I think this committee already voted, this council voted what we thought about the sea level rise. You want to keep that back in mind? Of course you have, and I'm pretty sure, and I'm glad you have.
Yes, sir.
But I just want to be reminded again that that's, as far as I know, not a one of us has changed our mind. We still feel that way about it. So.
Well, as I told you in the beginning of my presentation, the thing that causes me the most heartburn is that they've added stormwater concerns into this when originally this was, I thought, supposed to be just about drinking water and wastewater.
I don't expect no better from that bunch. I don't expect no better. They're deceiving from the beginning, so why shouldn't they add their little tricks and come from the mouth? They can't get through the front door, so they'll come the back door. You've got to keep your eyes open all the time, and if you don't watch it, we'll be taxed and we'll know how we got it done. So I'm thankful that you're there watching.
Well, I'm keeping an eye on it, and I'll report back to you every time I see any direction changes. You're very welcome. I want to also take a few minutes and talk with you about the other committee that I'm serving to represent you on, which is the Wetland Advisory Committee. This committee, the Wetlands Advisory Committee, has been brought forth from Senate Bill 78. It has quite a list of members. I can give you that copy, a copy of that list if you'd like. But I'll try to give you a quick resume of what we've done so far. Our last meeting was January 8th, and so far, in our December meeting, we made an agreement. It was all these votes we've taken so far have been unanimous, I should share. The first thing we voted on was voting processes. And this is a 28-member advisory committee, and we have agreed to require a two-thirds majority in order to adopt anything, which requires 19 votes. That's the first thing we agreed on. The second thing we agreed on was to establish some subcommittees, and the first subcommittee set up was, we call it the Carrot Committee. And the Carrot Committee is designed to find incentives for property owners to be more actively involved in the management of wetlands. I'm glad they're doing that. The subcommittee has already met once. I think they're having their second meeting this week, and they're going to come back to us with a report on proposed incentives for property owners. The other thing that we agreed on this past meeting was we agreed on what is a wetland. Now, a wetland, basically, which is defined in this book I'm going to give you, has three features. It has certain soils, it has certain vegetation, and usually, not always, has standing water. Now, I can also tell you what one of our past state representatives, George Carey, how he defined a wetland. This is just a little humor now. He told everybody that a wetland is determined by whether the duck walks or swims.
I thought you were going to say after a 12-inch rain we were going to establish the wetland, but
this booklet is a booklet that was devised a few years ago. It shows the state's analysis on wetlands. I'll leave one from Mr. Mm-hmm. Deaver from 1992 until 2007. The reason this is important is because the issue of non-title wetlands has been addressed by governors as far back as Mike Castle, and they have been concerned about a statistic that is preeminence predates this advisory committee, and that is that in the last 20 years, supposedly, we've lost over 3,000 acres of non-title wetland. Now, the argument in this process is who is going to regulate and who is going to offer the enforcement for wetland preservation. Currently, wetlands are governed by the Army Corps of Engineers, and from the people on the committee who are closely involved with this process, particularly private contractors and some landowners, they seem to testify that the current system with the Army Corps of Engineers works satisfactorily, and they question why then does the state of Delaware also want to engage in the business of issuing permits. I haven't gotten what I feel is a really good answer. I've even met with DENREC representatives after the meeting and asked them to pinpoint that for me, and I really don't feel like I've gotten a solid answer. The chairman of this committee, Mr. Mike Parkowski, has ordered for the next meeting, I will tell you what he's ordered for our next meeting, he has ordered Frank Piorco from DENREC to bring a presentation of how these new processes would work in the field. So he wants DENREC to explain to us, sort of in theater, if you will, how what properties would be reviewed, how the review process would happen, how the application and permitting process would happen in detail. He's also ordered to receive a first draft report back from the CARET committee, which will explain what possible incentives might be proposed to encourage property owners to engage and to work with these new regulations. And Mr. Parkowski said that from those two reports, he wants our committee to begin developing a consensus to establish direction to move forward. The legislation that started this committee requires that our Secretary O'Mara must deliver a report to the legislature no later than May 1. So that is the report that we want to critique, I believe. And I believe that these incentives from the CARET committee are issues that we want to look at very carefully. And I'll need your guidance on both of those issues. The legislature, now this, from working with the legislature, I can tell you that this is going to be a bit of a problem. Senate Bill 78 says that Secretary O'Mara must submit a report, a proposed report, to the legislature by May 1. Then he brings that back to the committee for final approval and submits it for final acceptance to the legislature, they're not in session, by December 31st of 2014. That report will be reviewed in draft by the 147th General Assembly, which will adjourn this June 30th, and then he's going to take the final report to the beginning of the 148th General Assembly, which starts in January of 15. So that seems to be a bit of a political dichotomy for me, but that's what the law says. Whether or not that's going to be something that will be a problem in the future or not, I'm going to keep an eye on that because those dates, in my opinion, could be a problem for having these suggestions adopted. Of course, this goes back to the legislature for some sort of action, I would assume, between May 1 and June 30. But the final report isn't due until the end of the year, unless Mr. O'Mara can get the final report back to him before June 30. So I'm watching that whole exercise to see how they handle the dates in that regard. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. There's reams and reams and reams of paper that I didn't want to burden you with, but that booklet that I gave you does a pretty good job of explaining what a wetland is.
But they have agreed on a definition, which is usually the biggest hurdle.
Well, the definition of a wetland is what the state has proposed. The state agrees with the Army Corps of Engineers on that. And that is what I mentioned, the three features of soils, vegetation, and standing water.
So that's the standing definition when we're dealing with this issue as we move forward.
Yeah, the right engineering term, I think, Mike, is the hydrology of the area, whether it's got standing water or not. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have, they've mentioned it several times in here, it doesn't have to have ponding water to be considered a wetland. It could be dry on the surface, but the hydrology of the soil, I guess the water table, would then help determine whether that feature is present in that site or not. Is that right?
That's reasonably close.
Okay.
Well, if that was true, we'd never dig another stormwater hole. See, that shows how they disagree with themselves.
I was expecting you to say that.
And they don't understand that.
I was expecting that.
I serve on the soil and
water. I know you do.
On the soil and water board.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing but an echo that's gave to us practically every daggone month. I sit there and argue some of these dumb regulations down, they would have us to believe that every homeowner in here should have a stormwater hole in their backyard, front yard, somewhere, so you could drain your water. And anybody knows, if you live in the lowland, the hole's full before it ever starts. You can't. It's a dumb argument. It's a dumb argument. They've asked me many times to bring this to the council. The council's smart enough from all the way back to Dave Baker. I could explain it to him. It's always been smart enough to never vote for this, and you better thank God that this is not a law. But these guys never give up, never give up. They're bringing dumb ideas, and you know what they talk about wetlands? I serve also on the soil and water, not soil and water board, but also on the ditch committees,
mm-hmm.
and also a chairman of many of them. Mm-hmm. Before we dig a ditch, we're sometimes a year or two. Why in the world are they giving us an argument about cleaning out a ditch? We've had the darn ditch there for years, 24. In fact, some ditches I can go back as far as 50, 60 years. And they've been cleaned 4 and 5 times, maybe more. Every time it's a wetland. It's BS, BS, till I get tired of hearing it. And it's all about jobs for these dummies that think we're the dummies.
I thought of you.
It boils down to it. Boils down. It gives them a job. Job, job, jobs. And I'm tired of hearing Frank. He knows nothing. That guy's name comes up now. He's going to make a report. He isn't. He is a loco in a sense of speaking. To give us a report, try to talk to normal people. That's where I get rung up with this kind of mess.
Mr. President, I think I see Chip back. West is in the audience, has served as proxy on that committee.
Yes.
Chip, is there anything you'd like to add, if the president will?
Sure, we'd be glad to have some common sense. Down.
Say yes.
Sure.
Sure, come on down.
Come on down.
I'll talk for Mike. He's speechless.
Good morning. I'd like to echo his caution. We have to be very careful.
You're not a kid.
I'm speaking as a farm owner. I'm also speaking as a conservationist. Wetlands are valuable. I will tell you this. One of the things they keep working for, and it reminded me when you all were talking about the storm water and all that, the feds, they're wanting to get federal delegation.
Absolutely.
If the states do this, the federal delegate. I'm here to tell you, I've been through nutrient management. I've been through all that. The feds don't go away.
Absolutely.
And all it's going to do is add another layer. The one thing that concerns me is Denrek is talking about we're going to streamline the process by adding another state bureaucracy. Denrek started out as 4 divisions. It's now 7. That's not streamlining. But that concerns me as well. Wetlands are valuable. I can't wait to see what the incentives are for the private landowner to do it. And the main concern they have to understand, and the other thing that concerns me as a farmer is they seem to be pointing the gun at agriculture all the time. Agriculture and forestry are the biggest. Have we done a lot? Have we dug ditches? Have we cleaned up land? Yes, we did. If you know the history of it, the federal government encouraged us to do it through the Soil Conservation District.
Absolutely.
And all that. That's in the past. We have to go forward. But I will echo the caution. We don't need another level of regulation. I represent Farm Bureau, and as a private landowner, we've got enough. So
thank you.
I think Mr. West will agree with me that Sussex County is well represented on this committee.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
There are farmers, there are legislators. You have me there. Marty Ross is there. The county is well represented. The county's conscience, I believe, is being represented there adequately. But we will keep you informed of anything that we see.
I will make one more point. There is no use to preserve a Delmarva Bay if you don't preserve the working lands around it, and that's the farm and the forest.
Absolutely.
It just becomes a stormwater retention pond.
Yep. But
have they determined, though, like natural wetlands versus like the man-made ditches?
Yes.
I mean, that's where they got to make the distinction, and I think that
yes.
could easily solve a lot of the problems if they would just say, here are the rules for natural wetlands, which I agree with you 100%. We need to preserve them. They're of great value to this county. But then when we need to clean a ditch, we ought to be able to clean a ditch.
You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater,
no,
as I said up there at the meeting. Yeah.
But a lot of the ditches do, you know, run to the bays. So maybe there should be some mechanisms there to, you know, prevent some of the direct runoff into the bay with some other
Councilman Cole, we got a complete presentation, last meeting, which was the 8th of this month, on tax ditches and the origin of tax ditches and what they do. And I thought the history was very valuable because the history explains their benefit and how far back it goes. And like Councilman Wilson says,
they've somehow brought the ditch issue and the wetland issue. They've all converged, and that's where we, I guess, need to separate them.
One of the handouts that I
ditch legislation and ditch, you know, committees and ditch this and anyway, and then there ought to be the wetlands.
So. I think they have that divided, don't they? One of the
subaqueous
area land.
Yeah.
We got a chart showing us. Categorizing the different wetlands. There's the tidal wetland, non-tidal wetland, freshwater wetland.
They're all important.
Ditch,
they're all
and it shows who
important.
Regulates all of them. This subject of this committee is strictly non-tidal wetlands, which are not connected to the bay necessarily.
Well, I mean, you keep talking about how important they are. I want to caution you. They were drained in part because of the disease that they harbor. The mosquitoes love a wetland. And they carry West Nile virus and used to carry malaria. I don't know that we should be head over heels wanting to preserve every wetland.
It's going to be a delicate balance. As you said, it's going to be a delicate balance. And you know, they have to be really careful because you have to understand the majority, just about all the tax issues are on private land.
Well, while you're talking, you might even talk about here about fertilizer. They have us to believe that farmers have just a lot of money just to buy fertilizer and then spread it and just hope it runs out here in the ditches and runs through it, which is the craziest thing. How in the world? I mean, we're a nonprofit organization just trying to make a profit. And why we want to run our fertilizer down a ditch? When you think about it, this is about as dumb as you can really get. And that's a big deal about fertilizer. Fertilizer, chicken manure. I mean, they'll never give up on chicken manure until they probably ain't got a chicken house. You wouldn't be able to grow a chicken in Wilmington, I don't suppose, for it to give up. But it's crazy. Chicken manure, I don't grow a chicken one, but I have the opportunity to go buy chicken manure. And I spread chicken manure. And it's not free. It cost me about $18 a ton. Why am I spreading it in the ditch and trying to pollute the water? It's crazy. And it's not only me, it's farmers. And I'll guarantee you there's not a one of us in here today will not get by without eating what the farmer grew. I'll guarantee you that. The farmers want the most crucial industry, the most crucial. And boy, their government is bang, like you said, aiming the gun at you all the time. Bang, bang. It's just silliness. And it wouldn't be so bad if it was just made sense in a lot of ways, but it's a lot of just, it's just silliness. And I've said enough.
I'm glad you're back, Mr. Wilson. Yes.
It's a pleasure to have Sam back.
Did y'all miss him? Yeah.
Miss him. I've had enough of him after 1 week. I'm ready to send him home again. Where's Helen?
No, sir.
I will say one thing, and I think Mr. Godwin heard it as well. This process will tend to ignore the traditional, and I'm just speaking from a farmer now, from the traditional organizations that we dealt with on conservation and wetland issues. They're going to sort of put the NRCS, the soil conservation districts, on the back seat.
Really?
And that's usually our point of contact when we're dealing with wetlands issues or something like that.
And they would bring who up in the forum?
The DENREC. Oh, as always, that's my biggest fear, DENREC is going to come to the front.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll just caution you on that, and that is Chip
exactly
West's
right.
opinion.
You're exactly right.
So thank you all.
Sure, thank you. Thanks for your station.
Thanks
very much.
Because I know where they're going.
Glad you're back.
You're
the only one.
Good to see you.
You're the only one.
We're going to move on our agenda to the advertised 10:30 public hearing. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. This is a conditional use number 1974 filed on behalf of Sarah K.I. Phillips. And first, I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in a manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the planning zoning hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to have the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And as I stated, this hearing is for conditional use number 1974, filed on behalf of Sarah K. I. Phillips. Mr. Lang?
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a hair salon to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 76 hundredths of an acre, more or less, lying northwest of Route 9, also known as Savannah Road, and across from Quaker Road, and being identified more specifically on tax rolls as tax map ID District 335, map 12.06, parcel 7. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on December 19, 2013. For the benefit of council, in my report that was forwarded out with the packet on Friday, I've also submitted to the council a copy of the survey of the property, a sketch showing the proposed parking, and two drawings showing the proposed floor plans within the structure. During the public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission on December 19th, we did hear comments from DLDOT, comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Sarah K. I. Phillips was present and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1974 for Sarah K. I. Phillips for a hair salon based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use will be a small salon operated by the applicant's daughter. Two, the use is in an area where other small businesses and professional offices exist. There are also some large-scale commercial retail uses in the vicinity. Three, the use in the existing structure will resemble a home occupation in its size and scope. Four, the use will have no impact upon traffic or area roadways. Five, the use will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the community. Six, the site was previously approved for a small-scale conditional use, and that recommendation is consistent with the prior approvals. Seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a small salon within the existing structure on the premise. B, all entrances shall be subject to DLDOT approvals. C, the hours of operation shall be between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Saturdays, and no Sunday hours shall be permitted. D, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. E, the parking shall comply with all Sussex County parking requirements. F, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Burton, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 4-0. To date, I received no additional comments from any individual or agency on this application. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
Any questions? If not, is the applicant here or an applicant's representative? Would you like to come forward, please? Be sure to give us your name and address for the record. Sign in on the sheet, and then you can explain what you would like council to do.
My name is Sarah K. I. Phillips, and we reside at Mariner's Way, Millsboro, Delaware.
Thank you. Would you like to explain to the council what you're planning to do and what your application is about?
Yes. My daughter is going to be having a small salon there. It's not going to be a great big deal like some of these around. And that's pretty much it.
I didn't know if I heard you right. You said your name is Sarah Kay?
Uh-huh.
Did you drive your pink Cadillac today?
That's Mary. That's her sister, Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's why I have to ask sometimes.
Her Cadillac's blue.
That's a joke.
Well, what's being done in the, anything in the house now is there's no facility there that's going to make a facility in the house?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
It's going to be just her?
Just her.
Do you rent or you own it? You purchased?
I purchased it, and I'm going to rent it to her.
To her, okay. Good.
And Lawrence, I guess this could have qualified as a home occupation, but because she's renting it to her daughter, it's got to go through this process.
The daughter's not going to live on premise. It has to be a resident operation if it's a home occupation.
Gotcha.
This site was actually, it referenced in the minutes, but it was approved for Dr. Pollock for a dentist office. Mm-hmm. 6 or 8 years ago, and it was extended, he let it run out, and he reapplied and got it approved again, and still never developed it. And Ms. Phillips is proposing to purchase that same property and make the improvements.
Ms. Phillips, you saw the conditions that planning and zoning placed on it. Are you okay with those?
Yes.
Is there anything else that you may want or are concerned about?
No.
Okay.
It's fine.
We want to take care of you.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add? Take it not. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of the application?
You can sit back down. Thank you.
Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and with council's pleasure, close the public record.
We will close public hearing, and if it's okay with council, and we'll close public comments. Mr. Moore, if you'd read the short title.
Yes, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a hair salon to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.767 acres, more or less, tax map ID 3-35-12.06-7, with conditions that were contained in your packet on pages 2 and 3 and numbered A through F, and it's read into the record by Mr. Lank.
It's a pleasure, Council.
Make a motion we adopt the conditional use with the conditions as proposed by Planning and Zoning.
I'll second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to approve conditional use number 1974 with the conditions as read. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I'll vote yes. For years, we've tried to maintain a residential appearance as the, for the entrance to being on Savannah Road as the entrance to Lewis, which is of historical significance. And this application, which is residentially zoned piece of ground with a conditional use, will not change the character of the neighborhood. So I think it will maintain that look that we've been trying to maintain, keep for the last few applications. Anyway, I'll vote yes.
Mr. Phillips.
It's obvious there is not a concern among the neighbors and community by the fact that no one was here in opposition. It's close to being a almost a by right vendor, I guess you could say, use, when you consider that had the applicant lived there, it would only have to go through our director at Planning and Zoning and DelDOT. With the conditions by Planning and Zoning, I'm quite confident that it'll work out well. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
I'll vote with P&Z. No question.
Also, I think it does make sense. It's still going to look like a residential property. There's only going to be one single person there working that thing. There's no issue with the community around there, apparently, why I'm here to oppose it. And with the conditions, I think it'll work well. I vote yes, most approved.
Thank you, John.
We will now back up to Mike Izzo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a quick setup to do, but I'll go ahead and start talking.
Sure.
I'm here to discuss a proposed contract agreement with Whitman Reckwart and Associates. This will be to perform a planning study to assess sewer service to the Gosley Creek planning area. This is the first proposed contract and work item with Whitman Reckwart since the firm was selected last October to perform engineering work for our North Coastal planning area. The contract as proposed for consideration contains two parts. First, we have our base contract, which outlines the basic legal relationship between Sussex County and Whitman Reckwart for any work that will be performed during the selection period of 5 years. Our legal staff reviewed and approved that base contract, as well as our insurance consultants. Note that the use of this base contract does not authorize any particular work item to be performed. The second part of the contract agreement authorizes the performance of the scope of services and its associated work.